未熟無情されど美しくあれ。暗い語っとけばうまくいく物金合いこともう自己顕示飽きた未熟何かそんな不満なんだ散々わがまま語っといてこれ以上他に何かいるそんなところも割と嫌いじゃんもう聞き飽きたんだよそのセリフ中和と半端
Hello, you're listening to the Otaku Spirit Anime Cast, and my name is Andrew, and this is Chris.
Yo.
And
you didn't give me a yo last time.
You missed the outro, too, so.
Well, I wasn't sure if we were doing an intro and outro,
fine.
Seeing as how you didn't say.
No, I just stated I'm not going to explain everything again. We're doing our deliberations for 2019 Best of Anime, and we are diving into Isekai next, so hopefully you've listened to the other ones, you understand what we're doing, so. Diving into Isekai, we have nominations. Not really nominations, more just the pre-short list that we have to break down. Where is my professionalism here? Here we go. Okay. We have a ton of Isekai this year. And so it's really just going to come down to... Let me kill some here. We got to get rid of Sword Art Online. Do we have another one that was post... The other Sword Art Online. There's two Sword Art Online. So let me go down the list here and just grab them as I go. Grimm's Notes, the animation. I wouldn't really call that one Isekai. They're technically going to another world, but it's just kind of just different stories within their world. So I'm giving that a technicality. That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime, definitely going to be a contender. Revisions, another one that doesn't feel very Isekai, even though I'm just not going to say anything. Wise Man's Grandchild. Wise Man Grandchild. Isekai Quartet. It's Isekai's to Isekai Point. More comedy though. Not gonna fight for that one. Rise of the Shield Hero. Afureta. Had too many issues with that show to even contend with most of the stuff here. Do You Love Your Mom? Enter Two Hit No. Isekai Cheat Magician. We'll see. Demon Lord Retry, possible. Granbelm, again, just, it is Isekai to another parallel world, but it's not really it's a creation, it's not really another world. Cautious Hero, we'll see. High School Prodigy has it easy in another life. High School Prodigies, it was very surprising. Kimono Michi Rajab, not fighting for that one. Didn't I say to make my abilities average in the next life?
Yes. That sucks. I didn't think about that one.
So I have a bookworm. So I have one more slot.
I'm at six.
Well, what else do you have?
I got Cautious Hero.
Cautious Hero.
Cautious Hero and
Hero.
That's my one. Abilities in the next life, which I think I'm going to give to next life-ish. Yes. That one's going to be hard. I love because of its comedy. The other one I love because of its cuteness. So
this is going to be the tough one. Because we've talked about this before. When we did our review of Rise of the Serial Hero, I posed the question to Chris. I was like, because at the time we didn't know that Rise of the Serial Hero was going to get a second season. And we knew Slime was getting another season. And I posed to Chris, like, which of these two if you had a choice, which one would you want a second season? It was like, but they both have their own things, and it's hard to really choose which one you like more. And I was posing the thing of, like, Rise of the Shield Hero has so much other things going for it, where Slime is building its own world. One is building a world, and Slime, he's building his own world, if that makes sense. The character's building his own world, whereas the other one, the world's being built around them. So it's like the one's comedy and one's serious. It's like they both have their things. So now, Andrew has to, and Chris will have to, choose what is better, Rise of the Shield Hero or Slime. What a terrible thing to have to choose. But I'm just going to, so I'll just skip the 2 and 3 slot and finish the rest of this real quick. Oh, but there's another one. Cautious Hero versus High School Prodigies. A comedy versus an isekai doing something very interesting.
Well, my
Prodigies is unfinished, though. That's the only problem. And I don't think we're ever going to get a sequel to Prodigies.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. I don't know how popular it was, though.
I'm giving it a technicality here. Either way, this is something for everybody to consider. We are looking at the main reason why I'm even fumbling here is because literally we have what I have here is 6 different isekais, each one of them doing something very significantly different, and each one of them are. I'm not going to say excelling. In particular, Prodigies is not. It's doing wonderful in what it's doing. It's not. Whereas Slime is excelling at what it's doing. Rising Shield Hero is excelling at what it's doing. Bookworm is excelling at what she's doing. Cautious Hero is another one it's doing good in what it was doing. So, and same with Average Next Life, it's doing good in what it's doing. So that's where I'm standing at. Is we got 3 that are doing excel in each one of them. And how do you even quantify Bookworm against Slime? You can't, because they're doing 2 very different things, and each one of them are excelling wonderfully in what they're doing. Shield Hero is doing the same thing.
Well, what I'm doing. What I'm forcing myself to do is just kind of just choose it based off of personal enjoyment. I loved everything about A Vicinity Bookworm. It's easy number 1 for me. Slime versus Rise of the Shield Hero. This is like the one that I will probably change my mind in about 5 minutes. But the thing that I come with Slime and Shield Hero is I didn't have a single moment in Slime that I wasn't being entertained thoroughly. There was nothing about it that I was never bored watching the show. Rise of the Shield Hero, I was never bored either, but I was frustrated with Rise of the Shield Hero. Not the aspect that it's going for, which is to frustrate you about what he's going through, but frustration on that I knew that they were overusing everybody trying to pin something on him. And that did frustrate me about that show. So I actually had a point in which Shield Hero, I wanted something to change. I didn't want anything change in Slime. I wanted one minor thing to change in Rise of the Shield Hero. Well, it wasn't really minor. It was quite a bit of the show was him being pinned on stuff. So that's why I bumped it down. But it's still above Cautious Hero and High School Prodigies. To Chris's point, I think this is what you're going with. What's cool about all these isekais, though, even the ones that I didn't bring up, like Grimm's Note, which, like I said, is technically not an isekai. But even that, Wise Man Grandchild, Aphoretta, Demon Lord Retry. What I loved about all these isekais this year is they were all doing something different. And we always make that point when we're reviewing it is like, yes, this is an isekai, but here's what it's doing different. And everything in this 5 list easily are maybe not Prodigies, because like I said, it has a very abrupt non-finish. And until something gets, a sequel gets announced, I can't recommend it because of that. But they all do something very unique that I really did like. Cautious Hero is just funny. Rise of Shield Hero is going on the idea that this guy being brought down, this world being really nasty to him. Slime is building up a nation. The Sentence of Bookworm is just this girl's struggle, trying to survive and, you know, do what she wants to do, which could, you know, read books and build books. Which does sound really stupid, but it's really incredible. So yeah, that's my list. I have number 5 is High School Prodigy, Have It Easy in Another Life. Number 4, Cautious Hero. Number 3, Rise of the Shield Hero. Number 2, Slime, Reincarnated as a Slime. And number 1 is Ascended as a Bookworm.
Yeah, I just went ahead and let didn't I say to make my abilities average, knock off Cautious Heroes? I think they're both about equal to me. Yeah. Just like High School Prodigies, I think all three of them are pretty much equal to me. I enjoyed each one of them very much. And like Andrew was saying, where I'm the same is Rising Shield Hero, Slime, and then Bookworm. So all we got is pretty much a flip on Cautious Hero, or, well, I guess technically Cautious Hero is higher than my...
I like the abilities. I think I, if, now that I think about it, I think I probably would put abilities in Next Life higher than Cautious Hero. Just because I had issues with Cautious Hero, and I didn't have any issues with abilities average in another life, so I might change that. Let me put my number four as, didn't I say? There. So all we're swapped on is the four and five. And I'm fine with either one of them being number four on our combined list. Are you doing the next one?
Yeah.
Oh, or did you do our combined list? Did you say what our combined list
was? I read mine. Okay. You haven't read yours, and you haven't read your... Or did you read yours?
I did read mine, yeah.
Okay.
Combined is, didn't I say, to make my abilities average in another life. Number four, High School Prodigies have it easy in another life. Number three, Rise of Steel Hero. Number two, Slime. And number one, Ascendance of Bookworm. So, all right, shorts. We didn't have many shorts this year.
It's no, we didn't.
Of, kind of crazy. Because we had, I think we had a lot of shorts in 2018, I think. So, this is like right back to the comedies. Because there was so many good comedies. Is there anything better than How Clumsy You Are? I don't think there is. I'm just going to assume that that's number one.
Automatically number one.
So we have Mysteria Friends. I think it was gorgeous, but I don't know. It wasn't that great. There was nothing else besides the fact that it was gorgeous. There was no story being told, and there was no comedy. And I usually want one of those two things. And typically it's comedy because they're short. How Clumsy You Are, I put that on my list. Isekai Quartets was funny. Why the Hell Are You Here, Teacher? Wasn't really much there besides Ecchi. It was really just kind of softcore porn. Alchan Can't Study was definitely adorable. But the Alchan Can't Study, I think, was pretty close to being a full length. I think it was like a 15, wasn't it? So it kind of gets a cheat there. Senryu Girl, I liked more than Alchan. Mirror Tights, Magical Senpai, Are You Lost? So, man, Isekai Quartet or Ouchan? I'm going with Isekai Quartet. Okay, I think I'm good. Now I just got to choose the order. This is going to suck. Okay, so...
Yeah, I'm going to... I was debating between the teacher and Nolan Petta. I'm going to go with the teacher just because I had technically more fun with the teacher.
Whoa! Should rephrase that. Had a lot more fun with the teacher. Had a lot more fun with the teacher.
I had fun with the
teacher. I had so much fun with the teacher. I have number five, Isekai Quartet. I just loved it. And I think Isekai Quartet's really going to rely on you having knowledge in all four of those four properties. ReZero, Konosuba, Tanya the Evil, Overlord. I think that was it. And then you kind of have fun with them kind of bashing heads against each other. Senrakuro is number four. I thought that was absolutely adorable. Loved the characters in it. Had a lot of laughs in it as well. Number three is Are You Lost? We've talked about that one. Just being lost on an island and doing incredibly shocking things to survive. Number two is Magical Senpai, which I adored her. Senpai was so funny in that one. I just loved how just absolutely... flustered she would get trying to do her magic and innocently fumble over it. Number one, I have How Clumsy You Are, Miss Ueno, because Miss Ueno is a thirsty mess.
I have number five. I've got Why the Hell Are You Here, Teacher, just because it's just etchy fun, and I had a lot of fun watching that show. Number four, I've got Are You Lost? Number three, I've got Isekai Quartet. Number two, I've got Magical Senpai. And number one, I've got How Clumsy You Are, Miss Ueno-san.
Miss Ueno-san?
Well, Miss Ueno.
Miss Ueno? Miss Ueno? So we're matched up here.
I already did that.
Oh. What? I was like, wow, we're really matching. What did you do? Were we like even all the shows?
Most of them. The I gave you Senorita
Girl. Oh, you girl. Bumped off of Why the Hell Are You Here, Teacher?
Yeah, I gave you your Senorita Girl.
Oh, like you're giving me a favor. You love that show, too.
No, I love the show, too.
Number five, Senorita Girl. Number four, Isekai Quartet. Number three, Are You Lost? Number two, Magical Senpai. And number one, How Clumsy Are You, Thirsty, Hot Miss, Miss Ueno? Mikano Ueno. All right, so how do you want to do animation? Art's going to be more of a problem, but animation, for those that don't know, of course, is going to be things that just blow us away. Animation that just is incredible, that just makes you love the art that you're in, the motion, how smooth it is, just how it does things, that does it incredible. I guess I get rid of sword arts. That's it. That's all we're dropping. All right, so going down the list, Mob Psycho 100 Season 2 had an incredible... Yeah, a lot of people point at the last fight. I didn't technically think that was that great. It's a lot of blocks flying around, which they do a lot with Mob Psycho. I was more blown away by the fight with... What was his name? Ryuko? I have it in my list over here of moments. What is his name? Ryu, yeah. Ryu versus, like, pretty much everybody was, like, an incredible animation piece. And there's a lot to be said about Mob Psycho, but I don't... I'm just going to hold off on it. I might end up putting it in there. The Promised Neverland, directorial work on that one was incredible. A lot of awesome angles, motion, just panning the camera around as walking down the hallways was incredible as well. Kaguya-sama, Love is War, I only put that on the list because of the outro. The rest of it technically isn't very character motion. A lot of it's like reactions and stuff. They do have little moments where they try to highlight a character's movements for like love purposes, but I'm tentative on that one. Dororo, yes, it had a goof up on a couple of episodes, but a lot of the fight scenes animation was just absolutely incredible. So that one is a contender, possibly. Watatan I have on there because they did Moe motion and movement great. Plus, that last episode was absolutely incredible. Rume is a cat. I only put that on there because they knew how to animate a cat, and that's very rare in animation. Mysteria Friends, I kind of pointed out in our review for that one, it's just the attention to detail, the movement of clothing, the hair, they did an incredible job. But it's a short, so it's not like a huge achievement. So I don't know if I put that in the list. Slime had a lot of great animation in it, a lot of action scenes with great animation in it. Run with the Wind, incredible animation in like the running and stuff, especially in the later parts, just watching them run down the streets and whatever, and the marathons they were doing was fantastic. Senko-san, just for the tails, wagging tails and twitching ears. Bungo Stray Dogs, they do a lot of really cool stuff. I'm not really going to fight for that one, though. Ultraman, CGI, like I said, really fantastic two fights. There was two fights in that were really fantastically choreographed and animated. Fairy Gone, I didn't really much like the animation in that one. Rise of the Shield Hero, incredible, especially the intros. Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon? Wasn't as good as prior season, but still good. I Have It Done, Billsy Lift, not really fighting for that one. El Meloy, not fighting for that one. Maiden and Savage Season, had a lot of really good character moments and emotion in the characters and how they move around. Not going to fight for it, though. Granbelm, not going to fight for it. Demon Slayer is probably going to be number one. It's just no fighting that. Stars Align. That's
the one that I was thinking about, but I wasn't...
It wasn't one of those that I was really sure of. It's like,
Demon Slayer?
Yeah, that one, it's one of those that you think back on it and it's like, I remember that show being gorgeous, but was it because of, this is my main issue, because like, my automatic thinking is I'm automatically going for probably Fire Force, I'm going for Demon Slayer. Well, but see, here's the thing, am I thinking of Fire Force and Demon Slayer because of how the artwork stood out?
That's the next category.
I know. That's the thing. Am I thinking of it because of that? Mm-hmm. I know that I'm thinking of Maidens in the Savage Season, and I remember really, really being enthralled by that one as well. But is it because of the artwork, or is it because of the animation?
The last one's Stars Align. I put Stars Align on there because just the animation they did for showing the characters practicing tennis and the matches themselves, they did an incredible job. No doubt about that. If I give Stars Align anything, it was just fantastic animation. They did use some CGI here and there. So does Demon Slayer with like way far movement, like when they're walking down the pathways and stuff, you can kind of notice it. Wasn't that not that bad though?
See, I can automatically, whenever I think of something is probably quote unquote bad animation, is if I ever notice bad artwork in a scene where somebody is like kind
blank
of
faces in Fire Force.
I didn't see that in Fire Force.
Oh, it was like every
scene
they were talking in a room.
You've seen it. I didn't.
You bring it up for you so you can see it.
If I notice it, then it's really bad. And I do notice it on occasion, but I didn't notice it with these particular shows.
That was the only thing that was my only negative I would give Fire Force, is that I didn't like whenever they were in a room somewhere talking about something. It was just a faraway shot, and they were all blank faced. No mouths, no eyes, nothing. But other than that, like, especially that last fight, a lot of the fights were just incredibly animated. So Promised Neverland, I didn't think this would be this difficult.
Well, we're also going off of shows that we haven't seen in almost a year, so
Promised Neverland, I think, was more artistry and directing. It wasn't so much movement. Even though, like, the scenes where they're, like, practicing out in the forest, it's really cool animation and everything, but...
Well, it's like, for instance, I was trying to think of a show that I have seen that in, and that would be Stars Align. I did see crappy faces in
because you
wanted
to see
scenes.
It. See, it's only when you want to see it. That's what it is.
What it is. Yeah. When I want to see it.
Like, I would say 50% of Fire Force was that. I'm going on a stretch here. No, I would probably say 25. Just whenever they were in a room talking about something, it was always like that. But anyways, talk that to death.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my struggles. See, there's like a lot of very incredible animation pieces in Fire Force, though. I almost want to say, as much as I... See, Vinland Saga is consistent. Fire Force isn't, but Fire Force does incredible stuff. I'm just leaving it. I'm done. Leaving it. I don't have Shield Hero in there. That was the one I didn't transfer. I was trying to figure out what I didn't move up. It was freaking Shield Hero. Damn it.
I've got to stay firm on what I've got. Otherwise, I'm going to knock off my angels for the slime, and we might have a problem there. See, you bumped into the same problem as me.
I'm going to get rid of slime. It has some cool moments, but...
You just jump over everybody else in the list. You didn't even move them down.
No, what I was
saying... You don't
want
to knock off the angels. Just
exactly,
admit it.
Exactly. I want to get one Moe show in here, and it was incredible Moe show. Come on. No, it's like... That was about where I would have pasted Rise of Shield Hero as he went down, and it's like, no, yeah, I don't want to bump anything down. Just thinking about... Yeah, technically... Slime did some incredible
things. You're trying to justify yourself.
I'm done.
You could have replaced Fire Force with it.
But see, when I think of Fire Force, I think of like a lot of like I think of what is his name? The guy from the Beneke or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
The dude that like freaking kicks the big old poles of fire. I think of the last fight, which was absolutely insane.
I think there's so many incredible fights. I don't think you much cared for it, but I really, really liked the battle with the guy who was sniping things and the bow lady. I thought that was absolutely phenomenal. I think it's a struggle. Really, really fascinating fights.
That's the thing, is that show, its animation was in the fights. Everything else I hated. And besides, like I said, the haunting shot that they have of the father in the kitchen or the dining room.
Yeah.
That was an art piece. That was an animation.
I think of the crying scene. I think that absolutely was just so well animated. there's so many really, really well done scenes in that show.
We've given them credit, I guess, at this point, talking about them. So I guess it's not a bad thing that on the list, but Watchmen, I think you're in the same boat as me. It's just throughout the entire thing, the way that they animated these characters is so adorable. I remember that was one of the things that I picked up of when I was re-listening to our reviews, was reminding myself that the attention to detail they have, even outside of, like I said, the last episode where they did this whole stage play and the actual singing was to the characters' lips and how they sung it. It was an incredible animation piece. But even outside of that, just the motion of the characters, how they moved, how they're so lively, they look alive. They're not just stiff. They're not just sitting there with their mouths flapping. But one thing that it reminded me of was this whole scene where somebody was talking about how the little sister got Mayane to do their outfits for their play. And somebody was like, yeah, somebody really talked up you, and so they really want you to do it. And she immediately looks at her little sister angry, like, why would you do that? And it was so cute how her face went from, like, I did something good to, wait, I did something wrong? Like, it just suddenly dropped. Like, she suddenly realized, oh, crap, I did something that wasn't supposed to be done. It's that kind of stuff that was just, it made them just another level of liveliness and how adorable they are and yeah, connection, all that kind of stuff. We already talked Fire Force to death, a lot of great action scenes. Vinland Saga, I think, is really consistently beautiful, basically making a very... It basically takes the art style they created, which is technically a period piece to the Vikings and everything, and brought it to life with incredible animation, incredible shots and everything to go with it. And the action scenes were fun. Like, seeing, as much as I didn't have my issues with him, watching Thorfinn just run in there and just wreck things with two daggers was really cool. Rise of the Shield Hero is my number two, and that's just overall just a lot of great animations, a lot of the fight scenes, intro, outros were all beautiful. Well, not really necessarily the outros, but the intros were incredible. And then Demon Slayer, just watch the fight between the spider demon guy and the characters was just absolutely incredible. I mean, that to have a fight scene blow up on the internet, like a single episode blow up on the internet as much as it trended. Everybody was freaking out about it. My phone was blowing up about it. I had to go rush and binge the show because I wanted to find out what the hell everybody was talking about, because we were a little bit behind because it was in the middle of the course. And it was worth it. It was an absolutely incredible fight. And like I said, most of the fight scenes were incredible in that one. It's another one where it mixes in the art as well. It's not only just incredible animation, it's bringing art to life. The whole aspect of whenever they use the breathing arts, it flows like a painting. Like his is water breathing, and so you'll see this flow of water that's almost artistic with his blade. The other character that we hate, his voice with a burning passion, even his thunder breathing, where he just kind of freaking just darts across past the enemy, was just absolutely incredible, and just everything mixed with it was great. The whole fight scene inside of the room with the drum player, and how they mixed that CGI so well, they blended it incredibly well with the actual character, and having him basically the room rotating around him and him just having to be dropping and falling different directions while he's trying to gain his footing was incredible as well. So just it's Ifutable at their best. I mean, it's hard to beat Ifutable. I think the only one that we ever claim beats Ifutable is Kyoto Animation, and Kyoto Animation beats them from a completely different direction. It's more like beautiful and detail with like something like Violet Evergarden, whereas Ifutable just makes photorealistic, incredible animation with, you know, Lemon Blade works and stuff. So, do you want to turn?
you're going to have to do the list because I don't even know where to go on that one. The combined. Number five, we've got Watteten. I've got Watteten. I've got number four as Rising of the Shield Hero. I've got number three as Maidens in Your Savage Season. Number two, I've got Fire Force. And number one, I've got Demon Slayer.
I'm going to claim we're not going to do a combined list because it's taste. Because, yeah, that's not going to be a list. It's going to be a lot of coin flipping unless one of us concedes. I think most everything after this point is really taste. So it's fine. Like, we're going to be getting into art and best and worst. It's going to be everything from this point on probably not going to have a combined list. So just keep that in mind going forward. Art. So specifically things that are artsy-fartsy, not so necessarily have incredible stories or incredible. I guess it can be artistically incredible stories. So, again, I don't think there was really much this last year that was really artistic. I mean, you can go by, yeah, I like Dr. Stone's art style, or I liked, like, I like Copcraft because of Range of Murata's character designs. I don't know. There wasn't anything that kind of stood out as being, because even something that, quote unquote, is supposed to be artistic, like Sarah Zanmai, I didn't really enjoy it. So it's not like I recommend it. So I just, I guess, go by art style.
That's usually what I go by. So,
which again is one of those things where I would probably pull in a lot of cute girls doing cute things show for their art style, but we've already done cute girls doing cute things. So I'm going to leave that be.
I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of different things that that can be involved in being artwork. So, because I think that the Promised Neverland, their artwork style is very, very, I like that one.
I didn't care for the show, but
that's very different from the art style.
It's hard for me to pick that one based on the fact that I didn't like the art style at first. It grew on me, but I didn't necessarily like the art style at first. That's just me. I'm just going to go based on character designs. And it sucks because as much as I love Ranger Murata's artwork, Copcraft wasn't an incredible show. It struggled with the animation. So I would just be picking it strictly on character design.
Yes, there is something that I am picking Promised Neverland for. Can you imagine?
Fairy Gone.
I do like the character artwork in Fairy Gone. I really, really do. Mysteria Friends. I mean, Mysteria Friends is beautiful, but it doesn't outweigh my love for Fire Force guy's artwork.
I'm going strictly on character design. Well, it technically does fit in as well with the art style, but they're all different, right?
No, you have two
Fire Force. Why is Fire Force there twice? What did I miss? Demon Slayer. I didn't copy Demon Slayer. Man, I'm the Mac person, too, and I'm failing miserably at copy and paste commands. I've been doing way too many spreadsheets at work
on Windows.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. I guess. Like I said, there's not really anything artsy-fartsy, so I'm really just going by style and artistry that's in these shows. Like I said, I'm going to start with number five. Number five, I got Astro Lost in Space. I really love the character designs in that show, and it fit in with the sci-fi elements of it. I love the crafting they did in all the worlds they went to, so it has a really great art style to it. Demon Slayer, loved all the character designs in the show. Even though some of them are obnoxious characters, I still like their designs. Loved Nezuko, loved all the demons, looked incredible. Just fantastic art style to the entire series. Lord El Meloy, Case Files, it's Saber Faces and a lot of characters that I really love. Their designs are great. Pulling in a lot of characters from other Fate properties as well. So having a lot of characters that I'm familiar with that I love their designs. Plus, like the visual style itself, very kind of Victorian, dark, you know, incredible vistas and libraries and stuff that they were in, mansions that they were kind of exploring. Fire Force, number two, it's just I like that Soul Eater creator, just he has a unique style to his own that I actually really like. Plus, like, there was like three best girls in that show that I had to fight over, even though one is, of course, obviously the best pick. And number one, I have Copcraft. And again, this is specifically on artwork. The animation
was
really
garbage.
Fell apart really quick.
Okay, even garbage, like, on a scale that I go, that was garbage.
Like episode one was like, it's trying really hard to retain things and keep things together. And then after that point, it's like, yeah, it tried. It And I don't think it even tried. It just fell apart. But like I said, I loved the world it was creating, all the different characters they were running into, and it's Ranger Murata's style, and I absolutely love it. So I still like the world, and I love the visual style. Just the animation just did not keep things together, and that's the biggest. It's the biggest and worst fault of it.
You remember how we were talking about, what was that, Seiyuu Life, or one of those where where the guy, the mangaka, was writing about how somebody, when they don't care about a property, they just totally ruin
Girlish
it.
Girlish Number.
Girlish Number. When we were talking about that, that's what happened here on Cop
Crop. That's the problem with generally with Ranger Mara stuff is it's you can never find somebody that actually does his artwork justice.
For my number five, I got Fire Force. I agree with Andrew. I absolutely love that guy's artwork. He does such a phenomenal job in some very unique characters, and they look great. Number two, I've got El Meloy. I love the Fate franchise's artwork. I love like Andrew was talking about the Victorian. The goth characters and all that stuff. I absolutely love it. O Maidens in the Savage Season. Very beautiful characters, backgrounds, all that stuff. Promised Neverland. I do actually like that. Whether or not I care for the story, I did like the artwork, and that very much drew me to want to watch that show. And lastly, it was Fairy Gone. Another one where I really, really love the artwork. Whether or not I watch the show is irrelevant. I loved the character artwork.
All right. I'm skipping Concept unless you really want to hit on that one.
That one is one of our funner ones, isn't it?
Yeah, but they didn't have anything that was super standout. Concept basically is on something that did something very unique that we want to kind of point out. It's not necessarily the show is the best thing ever, but it did something that was very unique that we kind of want to point out. We've had several years in the past where we just had certain shows that we thought did something cool, and we wanted to give them credit somehow. That was Concept. I think like stuff like 18IF and stuff like that was those ones that I'm not going to give it an award for anything, but the fact that it was doing something cool. I think we recreated it because of that guy's same work. The one that he did before, Girlish Number, that they completely destroyed.
Yeah.
That we really liked mm-hmm. it.
Well,
he's the guy that does Snafu as well. So
yeah,
but he did an action show that they completely butchered, and I think that was the thing that made us create this concept was that we really liked what they were doing with that show. It's just that they butchered.
Well,
it.
We always had those shows where we wanted to point out it's we like the idea, but it never quite followed through or something like that.
Tari Wataru.
I knew it had something to do with four, but I was stuck on Quartet. I kept looking at Quartet, and I'm like, I know it's not Quartet.
So,
yeah, the only ones that really have anything would be the Prodigies, which we already gave it kudos.
I like the idea of the Copcraft show, the concept of the buddy cop thing, which is technically something of old, but I did like that kind of return of something where there's two people that don't really meet, but they have to work together concept. Dr. Stone, we haven't been able to put Dr. Stone anywhere else, but it's mind-boggling how the idea of science is entertaining, so I'll give that one. I have Roommate as a Cat on here, specifically on the idea of the whole split perspective things. Every episode, half the episode was the guy's perspective, and the other half was the cat's perspective. That's why I have it on there. Promise Neverland's really just a concept.
Grimm's
of
Notes, the world and the technically, Pastel Memories was an interesting concept.
Yeah, Grimm's Notes. Oop, I'll do that again.
Not that that one would ever actually really truly get done and done well, but it was an interesting concept going from actual property to property.
Magical Spec Ops talked about that, the concept of taking Magical Girl and making it about like PTSD and stuff like that, which was kind of unique.
Mm-hmm.
Kimetakusa, really just based on the idea of the world that he created. It's not so much a concept there, so I'm not sure if I'd put that in the list. Dumbbells You Lift, making exercising moe, which is, I guess,
always something that we seem to be drawn into.
Astro Lost in Space, probably more the concept of the world that they kind of build. It's not necessarily a concept in there itself. Like I said, I'm looking for a mechanic that they explore that was unique.
There wasn't really any mechanics per se in this year. So I guess you're right on that.
I guess if I'm sticking strictly to things that are kind of unique about how they tell their story, that should be kind of highlighted And again, these are not going to be like the best shows of the year. It's just they did something that was kind of intriguing that I want to kind of note. One more. Magical Spec Ops. I guess I'll give it that one. So finally, Dr. Stone gets an award. And that's strictly because Dr. Stone didn't really fit in any of these categories very well. And that's just how it is. It's not the Dr. And it'll probably be on the actual later seasonal stuff. You're probably going to get a lot of highlights of Dr. Stone over there. But yeah, I'm gonna go with that. Are you making a list or are you just...
Oh, I was just going with you. The only other one I would point out was, like I said, Prodigies. But that we already pretty much covered that.
Yeah. So number five for concept. Again, this is just, they're not the greatest shows ever. There are some that are greatest show ever. But there's one that's a really incredible show. Two incredible shows. But more on the end of concept. Magical Spec Ops. Just the idea of really taking Magical Girl. Yeah, you do have stuff like Pull Out of Magic, Madoka Magica. But it was really more militaristic. Really a lot of PTSD, struggles with war and death and stuff that they're really kind of hitting on that was kind of unique for a Magical Girl. Taking a Magical Girl and really militarizing it and putting it into, like I said, Spec Ops is interesting. Grimm's Note is number four, just the concept of going to different worlds, taking different fairy tales and really kind of doing unique stuff with them, having the question of like, well, if Cinderella's mom was the previous Cinderella because she got the book, it's just really weird stuff that I kind of messed around with, which was a lot of fun. Roommate is a Cat, based on the idea of the two perspectives, is a very unique aspect of that show or concept. Cop Craft, again, the whole buddy cop, two different worlds, two different races, aspects of racism, all that kind of stuff they were really hitting on that I would love to have seen better animated. And then Dr. Stone is number one because it's taking science and making it fun and interesting and just captivating, which is mind-boggling, but they somehow pulled it off. It's an incredible formula they pulled off there. Best originals.
That's easy. I don't see why there's even anything to discuss here. Obviously Kimura Kusso wins.
It's slim pickings. Very slim pickings. Price of Smiles is in the list. I don't know why I didn't put Price of Smiles in there. Let me double check, make sure I didn't miss anything. Holy crap. Is there an easy way to search that on this stupid thing?
I wish.
Quartet, Carol on Tuesday. Want to change your mind?
Yep.
Oh, we didn't put Carol on Tuesday in the list for the Slice of Life. Ooh, might have to go back to that one. What else would you put that under? Drama? Sci-fi? The drama on sci-fi is heavy. Might have to go back. We watched Carol on Tuesday late after I made the outline, so that's probably why people were probably screaming at their speaker for the last few episodes of our podcast. Indra was an original? Wow.
Oh, you suck. I trusted you, Andrew. I trusted you.
I swear Copcraft is not. Even though now it has like really high contenders going against it. No, light novel, it started back in 2009. Wow. I thought that was an original. Sorry, Copcraft. Mikusa, Price of Smile, Carol on Tuesday, Indro. There. My top list for originals for the year is number five, Revisions. It's on the bottom of the list because I did have issues with it, but there was some cool stuff they did at the end of it. Unique Little World. Indro's number four because it was just a lot of cute adventure fantasy fun with Mao. Just Mao. Number three, Price of Smiles, because it did actually surprise me. A lot of the stuff on the princess's side was incredible. Not so much the other side. Kimura Kusa as number two, because that was just a wonderful little adventure going in. The mystery was absolutely fantastic. Wasn't the best animation, but we've talked to that to death. And number one is Carol on Tuesday, because we just discovered that I forgot to put Carol on Tuesday in every category. So that one was easily number one for originals, because it was an incredible... incredible series. And you?
My list is... Oh, you suck. Now I gotta go sweeping back. Kimura Kusa is number three. Indro is number two. And Carolyn Tuesday is number one.
Do we want to go back and put... No, I'm not bothering going back.
I don't think we really need to. We can just put adjusted lists up there or something.
Yeah. I guess.
Because that's going to be a mess.
This happens every single year.
Quintessential Quintuplets is going off my list real quick.
What, for drama?
Yeah.
Are we fixing it right now?
No, I'm just looking at it. How bad is it going to be? Because it's going to be brutal.
It's basically, it goes on the top and everything squishes down. It's really what it is. Like drama, it would be Carol on Tuesday, Babylon, Oh Maidens, Domestic Girlfriend, Remedies Cat, Fruit Basket Falls off my list. That's really what it is. Same for your sci-fi. I don't know if I want to put it in sci-fi mech.
I wouldn't. Really it's not going in sci-fi. No way. I mean, yeah, there's the AI aspect, but it's not strong enough to really... Yeah.
I might make an argument for putting in a slice of life, but again, it's one of the cases where you put it at the top and everything squishes down. So
I don't know. I guess it would probably, yeah, it would go higher than Domestic Girlfriend on drama. That sucks.
I did put it in the seasonal list, so I won't be
missed. So everybody, you just got a new number one. It's that easy.
Yeah, pretty much what it is. It's going to beat everything else in the list. So yeah, what else do we have here? Going back here. The worst show, I don't really have many options. Pastel Memories, Bermuda Triangle, Real Girl 2. I didn't watch all of Real Girl 2, so I'm not going to put that on a list, but I did have my issues with it. And Do You Love Your Mom and her two-hit multi-target attacks, that one just fell apart bad for me. So I would probably put it in order of number one being Bermuda Triangle, number two being Pastel Memories, number three being Do You Love Your Mom and her two-hit combo attacks. And like I said, I'm not putting Real Girl in there, so we don't really care much doing worse lists. It's just those were ones that just didn't work out for me, so that's all it really is. I don't know if you have a list. I just put those in there. Most disappointing, I'm just going to point out some.
Not Wise?
Huh?
Not Wise? Didn't you like that one?
Wise. I didn't. That's another one like Real Girl 2. I didn't really finish it, but I wasn't really expecting anything out of it. So, well, that's
for worse. Wasn't that the guy who does the King shows?
The King shows.
I guess it would be a.
Yes.
I would assume that it would be. Yeah, I would assume it would definitely be. Well, that was
the
same
with the Handshakers. It's a sequel of Handshakers. They were both. You're doing weird things, and it's cool that you're experimenting, but they don't make good shows. Both of those are the same thing. Handshakers and WZ was the same thing, that situation. So
Million Author.
No?
Did we like that one? I don't remember. Man, that was
It was season two was this year, and we didn't get
to Sarah Zan Mai is definitely a disappointment.
I wasn't really expecting anything out of it, sadly, but yeah, I could say it was a disappointment. I'm strictly going based on things that I was expecting something, and it failed. Like, Copcraft, I wouldn't put it in disappointing because I really wasn't expecting them to do a good job because it was a very unknown studio. So it's not a disappointment. It's a disappointment that somebody ruined Erin Jimura's work again, so I guess that technically puts it up there. Kimono Michi Rise Up was definitely a high one for me because I love that person's work with Konosuba, and they failed miserably with this one. Stars Align started incredibly well, fell apart, goes up there. Bang Dream Season 2, loved Season 1, didn't care for Season 2.
I think they had the...
We'll do Sirens on Mai up there, I guess. It was a disappointment. I wanted something good out of it, honestly. Fairy Gone, I was never really... Well, I wanted to like it because it's PA works, but just didn't work out. I'm gonna put Copcraft up there. Disappointment that somebody screwed up Rin Jamada's artwork again. So there we go. I got my list. Are you making a list?
I was trying to figure out if I could see things that were kind of disappointing.
So I have number five is Copcraft, because like I said, somebody ruining Rin Jamada's artwork is always a disappointment to me. Number four, Sarah Zan Mai. Just everybody always hypes up his work, and it never works for me. It can work for other people, it just doesn't work for me. So I'm always disappointed whenever I try his stuff. Number three is Bang Dream Season 2. Like I said, I loved Season 1. They changed to CGI and just had way too many characters to focus on for me to enjoy the second season. I didn't finish it, though, so keep that in mind. Stars Align is my number two because it started out so great. The animation was incredible. Music was fantastic. And it just turned into all these kids have domestic abuse and their parents are terrible people. And that's all it really was. Number one, Kimono Michi Rise Up, because I love that writer's work with Konosuba, and Kimono Michi was not that good, really, for me. But again, comedy is subjective, so that could just be me. These are my disappointing. Not everybody's disappointing. And you have...
Katakuri Circus.
Oh my gosh, I forgot Katakuri Circus.
We were so, so, so hype on that show.
Oh, it had a good opening.
And it just slowly, over time, just dwindled and dwindled and dwindled.
It's like, hey, we know you like Ushio and Tora. You're going to love this.
And nope. even
when it was fast. The backstory was great.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say that we came away from it absolutely completely frustrated with it, but it was disappointing. We were nowhere near as high as we were at the very beginning of that show.
It was a lot of ups and downs for me, because it was like, started out great, went down, had that great backstory stuff, went back down, had that cool, crazy doll chick, came back down, bad last segment, like the whole going to space to stop, it was, you know, okay, you lost me.
Copcraft would be my number four. Most of my stuff is lining up with Andrew. But my top one is definitely Sirens on My. I do want to get back and try it again, because I don't know what it was that wasn't, it just didn't feel right for
pulling
me,
stuff so. Out of buttholes is not interesting to you? Come on. biggest surprise. Shows that surprised us. Mob Psycho surprised me. These are based on the idea that either something, you weren't expecting something out of it, and it surprised you. Not so much stuff that you were going into it expecting something, and you got it. So, that's pretty much where we go with this one. I was expecting things of Dororo. I had some high praise on Kaguya-sama, so that didn't surprise me. Mob Psycho Season 2, because I didn't really like Season 1, and Season 2 was great. So that was a surprise. Watsutan, it's Dogokobo. We're going to enjoy it no matter what. Rume as a Cat was a surprise. I really wasn't expecting anything. We had that sense of, like, this looks like nobody's talked about this. This is out of nowhere. This might be something. And it ended up being the gem of the season. So we were kind of going after it, hoping it would be something special. And it did. Same with Ascendant of the Bookworm. We weren't really expecting anything, but we kind of were like, this could be something interesting. And it ended up being incredible. So same with Babylon. Just a gem that just came out of nowhere. Astra, another one, came out of nowhere.
Why can't we pick Kaguya?
You can if you weren't expecting anything out of that and it blew you away. But I heard whispers of it, so it didn't surprise me. It was incredible, but it didn't surprise me like the other ones are.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting anything, so I didn't know that there was a
Demon Slayer. It was refutable, and people were kind of talking about it, so it's not like that was a surprise. It's like going after, like, wow, I went to watch a Kyoto Animation show and I was surprised. Well, Animation.
There's the funny thing, like going into My Hero Academia. When I went into it, yeah, I was expecting to like it, but I wasn't expecting to like it as much as I ended up liking it. And that's the funny thing about stuff like that. It's, I don't know. Afureta, how do you feel about the idea of something starting out rough and then ending up being something that you kind of like?
You mean starting absolutely garbage and then turning into something you like?
Right.
It's the same thing. It's surprising. But was it surprising as other things is really the question. You have to make a list, man. So I have number five is My Roommate is a Cat. I really wasn't expecting anything out of it. I've basically gone on all these. Number four, Mob Psycho 100, Season 2. Number three, Ascendant of Bookworm. Number two, Astro Lost in Space. And number one, Babylon. Which essentially is turning into a list of my favorites. But they were surprising. So, like I said, things that I really love that I knew was coming aren't in this list.
I got Dr. Stone as my number five. I've got Afureta as my number four. Number three is Ascendance of the Bookworm. My Roommate as a Cat is number two, and Kaguya-sama is number one.
Best girl, here's where fur flies.
Now,
fur flies. Now, we're talking like, because
Mao. Now, wait, we're, what's Mine, M.
We're talking like waifus. We're talking about waifus. Are you waifuing Mao and then mine?
They're best girls.
There's cutest characters for the cares.
Well, they can be cute characters over there, too.
You're going to waifu mine.
I didn't say I'm waifuing them.
Those are for cutest character. They're not for waifus. Don't lewd.
I'm not
waifuing. Don't lewd mine.
I'm not waifuing. I'm saying best girl. Difference.
That's a different category.
There is a cute characters and a best girl?
Yes. There's two different lists.
Okay, then this is waifu.
If you want a waifu Mao and mine,
so
and
this is
make
waifu,
them cutest character,
this
then
is waifu,
that's
then
on
there's
you.
Going to be a best girl, and then there's going to be a cute girl. So you have three categories for girls.
I don't know what you're talking about anymore, so I'm just going to give up. Let's see. Chika Fujiwara. Oh. Miku was like totally best girl in quintuplets. Fi-Fi. She might be in more of the cute character area. Cardinal, just because it was Nero's Seiyu. That's really all I put in the list for. Milam was awesome. I might have to put her in the list. Talia, Hibiki, Mamako from... She, as much as I have issues with do you love your mom or to hit multi-target attack, Mamako was MILF material, as much as I hate the MILF term. She was moe as hell. Gray, because she's Saberface, I'm not sure. Quiteri from Astro Lost in Space, I loved her to death. Yuika from Hinsuki, she was the cutest, but I'm afraid of her because she'll lock you up. Have both Aku and Luna from Demon Lord retry. They were just kind of goofy. Tilarna from Copcraft. Senpai from Magical Senpai. Hamare. I just want to make sure that if I ever get lost, I bring Hamare with me from How You Lost. And now Demon Slayer is a Demon Slayer and Fire Force have the same problem. There's like three like waifu characters in there. Nezuko, Shinobu, Kanayo from Demon Slayer, and then Tamaki, Iris, and Maki from Fire Force. So those are a struggle. Miyako was absolutely adorable from Wataten, so she's like a Mashu character. Taro Honda from Fruits Basket, definitely a contender as well. And let me see if I can figure this crap out. I'll just stick to one of them. I'm going to stick to one per show. Tamaki. Just decide. If I got an actual backstory of Gray, I probably would have put her up on the list for Saberface, but we never got our backstory. We went into Rail Zeppelin, apparently. That's more important. It was a cool arc, though. We could have done both, technically. But no, we wanted to do a bunch of random cases and never do her backstory. Tuesday is a good one. So I have number 5 is Senko-san from Helpful Fox. Senko-san, if anything I got out of that show is that I want a Senko-san. Number four, I got Milam from That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime. I love her character design and she just kicks absolute butt. And I love her, like, the whole thing where she, like, knocks out the minions of that Demon Lord guy and then suddenly walks up to him thinking that she's going to get, like, told that she was a good girl, but she actually did something wrong. Demon Slayer, the struggles, like I said, there's several of the characters in there that I thought were incredible, like Subaru and stuff, but I'm going to stick with Nezuko because she's best sister and she kicks absolute butt. Fire Force, I got Tamaki because I loved her from the beginning. I love her character design. Even though, like I said, I hate the fact that she never got like a moment to shine. She was just an absolute treat. And then number one, I have Raphtalia from Rising the Steel Hero because Raphtalia was pretty much like the Rem of last year. She was the character that always stood by the main character, went through thick and thin with him, was always the support, the light and the dark. And I love her design as well. So
I've got for number 5, I've got Kaguya from Kaguya-sama, Love is War. I've got Kohaku from from Dr. Stone. Senko-san from Helpful Fox. Senko-san. I've got Tuesday from Carol and Tuesday. and Yue from Afureta.
And best boy, we have Hyakumaru from Dororo.
Dororo! Dadgummit!
Get rid of that one. Don't spoil thing. You're going to put... Don't lewd Dororo. She's over in the cute list.
I'll put her in the cute list.
Remedu, he was, like, really awesome. Like, he was that character that almost, like, diffused the usual... Like I mentioned with the Outbreak Company, this idea of, you know, not judging people and bringing people together kind of concept was really cool. Haiji from Run With The Wind, I loved his last race, even though I kind of didn't like him at the beginning. He really grew on me as he kind of diffused people's fights and arguments and tried to bring people again. Again, bringing people together. Metal Bat from One Punch Man number 2, or season 2, was really cool. Loved him. Levi, Attack on Titan, that's going to be kicked off because it's too long. Kanata from Astro Lost in Space was just awesome, all the stuff that he did for everybody. And the sacrifices that he made towards later parts was great. Cockcraft, K. Mataba was really fun. Tanjiro. Tanjiro's just a good boy. Tanjiro's such a good boy. He needs to be on the list. Demon Slayer. He's such a good boy. Benimaru and Arthur from Fire Force, and really like them. Askeladd, Thorkin were great from Finland Saga. Definitely go with Askeladd. Askeladd. Then I have El Meloy, of course, Waver. Eiji from Senru Girl. He was a pretty okay guy, even though he was a little bit clueless. And then Naofumi from Rise of the Shield Hero. I got him on these lists, so. Let's see. I'm going to go... I don't think anything beats Tanjiro. He's such a good boy. He's got such a big heart. Then I'm going to put... let's see. Kanata from Astro Lost in Space. Again, another good boy. Remaru, good boy. Askeladd, because he's just kind of a great character. And then I'll be Hyakumaru for... Dororo. So I have number 5, Hyakumaru for Dororo. Number 4, Askeladd from Vinland Saga. Remedu from That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime. Number 2, Kanata from Master Lost in Space. And number 1, Tanjiro from Demon Slayer. Because he's such a good boy. Did I mention that? He's such a good boy.
Yeah.
Pure good boy.
Yeah, they're at least we know he's a good boy.
He protects. He needs protecting.
I've got Tanjiro from... Demon Slayer. I've got Gus from Carolyn Tuesday, Eiji from Senryu Girl, Naofumi from Rising of the Shield Hero, and Captain Obi from Fire Force.
All right. Cutest character. Now you can get your lollies, Chris. I went and threw together Emma from The Promised Neverland, which she's just kind of too pure. Hinata and now from Wataten, probably shoot more for Hinata on that one. Mao from Indro, Bochi from Hidori Bochi, Bochi Des, gotta put Bochi up there. Philo from Rise of the Shield Hero, Takagi from Skill Teaser Takagi-san, she's absolutely adorable. Latina from If It's For My Daughter, I figure Chris would like that, even though I hated... See, like, I have PTSD to even her name because of that stupid guy yelling at every 2 seconds. Rue from High School Prodigy, Have It Easy in Another Life. Mine from Ascendant of a Bookworm. And then Suika from Dr. Stone. So, let me think.
Yeah, she's cute enough.
She's cute enough.
Yeah, she's cute enough.
She's cute enough.
No, the question is she cute enough to beat Suika from Dr. Stone? Yes, she's cute enough. That was the question. Poor Suika's always blocked by that stupid potato or
melon or whatever. That kind of sucks, the glasses. Even with the glasses.
Even though she is adorable.
So I have number 5 is Fido from Rise of the Steel Hero. Number 4 is Hinata from Wataten. Mine from Ascendant of Bookworm, Takagi from Skilled or Teasing Master Takagi-san season 2, and then Bochi from Hidori Bochi. Bochitas.
I've got Latina from if it's for my daughter, I'd even defeat the Demon Lord. Number four, I've got Bochi from Hitori Bochi. I've got number three is Takagi from TZ Master Takagi-san. Number two is Mine from Ascendance of the Bookworm. And number one, Mao, because Mao is naturally the Demon Lord, so she needs to be the Lord over my list.
Most OP. This is probably going to be a quick one. These ones are probably going to be more quicker ones, unless Chris has difficulty finding anything outside of this list that I put together. I think I got most of them anyways. But most OP, I got Ma from Mob Psycho, On from Mysteria Friends, because she was just, like, so OP. Quinella from, because that's Sword Online, so that's going to be out, but she was way OP from Sword Online. Where did my thing go? I hate when that happens. Rimuru and Milam. Technically, Milam was supposed to be more powerful than Rimuru, which was kind of surprising, because Rimuru was way OP from that time I got Reincarnated as a Slime. Shin Wilford from Wise Man's Grandchild. Naofumi from Rise of the Shield Hero. Hajime from Alpharetta. Mamako from Two-Hit Combo Mother Thing. Mao from Demon Lord Retry. Mairu from Didn't I Say to Make My Abilities Average? And Thorkell from Vinland Saga. Because he threw Chuck big old freaking logs. I think slime characters are like up there. So that's probably the top two.
I'm gonna say.
See, Mao, when he's in his alternate like persona, he's like pretty damn OP.
Well, the thing that makes him OP is that he can bring in more OP characters. That is slightly different than the others. Now, Slime, he just keeps eating everybody and keeps getting absorbing stronger.
Them. Yeah.
Mamako, yes, but
her swords.
No, the fact that every time she has some kind of a mama moment, it becomes overpowered.
If she has a chance to do that. I'll put Mairu here.
See, like Rimuru, we have no idea how powerful that character can become.
Whereas, well, none of these characters, you have any kind of value to it, besides maybe the fact that Mairu is half of a legendary dragon.
Exactly. Rimuru can but keep eating somebody. But how strong
is
a legendary
dragon is to the world of slime.
Yeah, that's true. But Rimuru could technically eat a dragon, so technically could be stronger.
Hajime from Alpharetta is very mortal. Like, he gets tore up really easy.
Yeah, and he's only as powerful as whoever he eats. However, he's not...
He has to beat it first.
Yeah, he has to technically beat it first.
But it's a lot of his synthesizing is what it is. See, Naofumi's got some crazy stuff with his shield. So I guess that's my list. Rimuru and Milam's, like, at the top of my list for that time I got Reincarnated as a Slime. They were, like, way OP. I got Mairu after that. And yes, I'm saying that Mairu is more powerful than Mao from Demon Lord Retry and Naofumi from Rise of the Shield Hero.
We don't know who else is in his list, you know.
Yeah. We haven't got there yet. Haven't gotten there yet. Are you putting together one?
No, I was just going with your list.
Okay. So best villain, number one.
I didn't make a strong enough argument say. For Mama. I didn't make a strong enough argument for Mama.
Oh. Muzan was crazy, too. And this is one of those struggling ones. It's like a mixture between what had great character writing and what's, like, overpowered. And I think I was going mostly for who had great writing. So that's what I'm going to go with. Like, Ayamagase is going to be my number one. Easily. She's just an incredible villain that just is wrecking the main character's mind. Portrayed excellently. Isabella was a fantastic... I love villains that you understand them. And Isabella is a villain you understand. And like I mentioned in a review, it's like, when you can say, if I was in the same position, I'd do the same thing, that's a good villain writing. So, I'm gonna actually do this.
Now, how do we feel about the one in My Hero Academia? That fight had weight. That's
next year.
Is he in next year?
He was. Are you talking about the ones season. That we're watching right now? It ends in winter.
Okay.
Whale fail.
So you don't have to worry. I mean, you could do All for One. He was technically the villain in the previous one, which was ended in this year. But again, how many episodes are we at?
Yeah, that's true. We're over 50, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Second season. We're on fourth season, so yeah, we're well over that. Even the one that ended last winter is still over, so. I almost went with Pomomo because she's like the best villain ever. Demon Lord Retry, or not Demon Lord Retry, the Demon Girl Next Door. Momo is like the best villain because she's so sweet. I also have the Black Knight from Grand Blue Fantasy. Let's see. Faker from Lord El Melway, which I'm kind of considering putting up there because I thought that was a really quick thrown in story for her that actually was intriguing.
We're not doing the most.
Other ones,
we're not doing the cutest. Villains, right?
Why not put Mao up there?
There we go. Cool.
There, I got more. My list. Number five, Mao from Indro. She's adorable. Number four, Muzan from Demon Slayer, because he's an absolute jerk and I wanted to kill him myself. Askeladd from Vinland Saga, because he's got incredible writing, had a fantastic end to the, hopefully, the first season. Isabella from The Promised Neverland, like I said earlier, it's a villain that I can understand, and that's great writing. And Ayamagase, because from Babylon,
she's
because
freaking awesome. She's
psychologically damaging everybody that watches the show. Yeah, really well written. Best couples. Who are your favorite couples in this list? Or unless you can think of anything else. I got Kaguya and Shirogane from Kaguya's Love is War. Miku and Futaru from Quintessential Quintuplets. I'm just shipping people, by the way. An and Gria from Hysteria Friends. Koharu and Haru from High School Girl, High Score Girl Extra Stage. Yes, I'm shipping those two because I don't like the other girl. Kuroto and Senko from Help a Fox Senko-san. Ao and Takumi from Ao-chan Can't Study. He's a good boy, too. Nanako and Eiji from Senra Girl. They're adorable together. Raftelia and Naofumi from Rise of Shield Hero. Narumi and Shirogane from Katakuri Circus. Hajime and Yui from Afureta. Kuitori and Zack from Astral Lost in Space. They were really cute, too. Nishikata and Takagi from Skilled Teaser Takagi-san, Season 2. Rika and Shun from Omega's in Your Shadow of the Season. I thought they were adorable. Kei and Tiana from Cop Craft. It's more just buddies. Mine and Tootie from Ascendant of the Bookworm. I'd probably say number one, Mine and Tootie, Ascendant of the Bookworm. Two, Kaguya-sama. Number three, Senryu Girl. Number four, Astral Lost in Space. And then my last would probably be Skilled Teaser Takagi-san. Actually, that would probably be my first. Ugh. I thought I could do it quickly.
I was impressed that you were going all the way down and you had not mentioned Takagi-san. So I was like, wow.
Let's see. One.
Not a lot of love for Takagi here.
Two. Three. I was just doing it off the cuff. Come on. Give me some credit for going off the top of my head.
I was going off the cuff, too. I only adjusted one out of my list.
And then you deleted them because you're trying to hide the proof.
No, I put it at the top.
Oh, there you go. So I have number five. I'm just going to name this show. I've already mentioned who they are. Senra Girl, Astral Lost in Space, Kaguya-sama Love is War, Ascendant of Bookworm, and Skilled Teaser, Teasing Master, Takagi-san, Season 2.
I've got Ao-chan, which is Ao and Takumi. I don't think Andrew mentioned that one, so.
Mm-hmm. I said he's a good boy, too.
Senryu, Ascendance of the Bookworm, Kaguya-sama Love is War, and Teasing Master Takagi-san.
All right. Let's finish off this episode with greatest moments. I'm just going to run through some moments. I'm not really going to order these. And then the last episode, we'll probably do seasonals and the best of. So there's some really cool moments this year. Demon Slayer. Of course, the fight between Tanjiro and Nezuko versus Rui. I think, like I mentioned earlier, that pretty much blew up the internets. I mentioned earlier the drum room fighting that demon was pretty awesome. And, of course, Zenitsu doing his unleashed lightning breathing. I mentioned earlier about Mob Psycho with Rue versus everybody. We've kind of talked about all these things during all the other stuff. Let me find something I haven't talked about. The train Blu-ray from Maiden Zero Savage Season. She finds the porno. And she's like, well,
there you go.
He must like it because it's trains, and he's always liked trains.
She's so sweet and innocent. That was perfect.
Trying to delude herself somehow. Yeah, the injecting the water to dehydrate yourself and Are You Lost? That was...
And the funny thing is, yeah. I texted a kind of a screenshot. It didn't really show what was happening. I texted it to Andrew, and I was like, yes, this is getting real.
They kind of went there. Cautious Hero going into the whole... Again, these are going to be semi-spoilers. I'm going to be decently vague, so keep that in mind for this stuff. Talking about the, I guess, the previous happenings in Cautious Hero, I really wasn't expecting that. It was really dark and ruined kind of a comedy show, but it was pretty cool. The bench in Orisuki was absolutely hilarious, no doubt. Every time a bench showed up in really stupid places and he knew it was coming, somebody was going to ask him to do something that didn't involve him, was great. Kimonomichi rise up, suplexing the princess and exposing herself to everybody, being called Princess Buttocks or whatever.
Yeah, she became Princess Buttocks for the rest of the show.
Every scene in Babylon that has Ayamagase, except for the one, and you know what I'm talking about if you've watched it. The only part that Ayamagase has been in that I know that would probably make Chris not like the show. You're gonna have to watch it just to know what I'm talking
yes,
about.
Yes, I am.
Mine versus the church in Ascendant of Bookworm. Like I said in the review,
I'm like terrified because the only thing I could think of is her torturing a certain type of character, and that would make me really, really mad.
Yeah, killing a child or something. would you put it past her?
No.
Okay.
She's that crazy. Yes.
Ascendant of the Bookworm, we kind of mentioned the idea that they had this whole class system. We never really seen it until they went to the church, and we had this like moment before it where we were hearing the sister was like, please come back alive. And we're like, wow, this is getting really, really serious. And sure enough, when they went there and they discovered that Mine and his family were commoners, it really got real. And Mine kind of standing up to her parent with her standing up for her parents was pretty epic too. So, the ending of Vinland Saga, I'm not going to go into it, but it was pretty incredible and brutal. Let's see. Yeah, these are all Kaguya-sama Love is War. I have many, and I didn't get them all. Kaguya waiting outside the room while he was talking about her and kind of talking her up, and she kind of got all flustered outside. Kaguya wearing the Neko ears.
I was one of the next ones.
Kaguya wearing the Neko ears and it, like, cutting to his inner thoughts. He's like, he has this demeanor like, that's all right. And then you get like the inner dialogue. He's like, kawaii! yeah, the Misunderstood magazine articles like talking about, oh, you do that a lot with Pesu, which was her dog, and her getting something completely different out of it. It was just really bad. Yeah, her trying to make Kaguya say wiener.
Wiener. That's hilarious. What I was laughing Ching-ching. At. Wiener.
Wiener. And she would laugh every time she heard it, or Kaguya would laugh every time she heard it. The scene where Kaguya was sick and he went and visited her, and then she kind of pulled him in and it turned some big old mess the next day was hilarious. The exchange, when he got the phone, he finally got a phone and they were inner fighting who was going to ask who, or trying to force the other person to ask you for your phone number. And then he was using photos of when he was a kid to lure her in to do it. And then, of course, What's-Her-Face runs up and says, oh, I'll take that. And then it was like this whole moment of like, holy crap, she's going to kill you. Kaguya is going to kill you. It was fantastic. There's so many good points in that show. So, any you can think of? It's been a long time, so yeah, right. I had to go sift through. A lot of things about Promised Neverland, especially like the opening reveal. The reveals about Isabella and really getting into her backstory was absolutely incredible. Boogie Pop and Other, I really like Shinpei's story and Nagi's background. Those are great little story arcs. My Roommate is a Cat. Can I read the final one? Again, I'm having to find things that we have not talked about. Let me see. Dororo, Mio's backstory, even though it was incredibly heartbreaking. And Jukai's backstory, that was a really awesome one as well. The guy that took care of Yakumaru was, his story was really incredible too. See, talked about all those. Bochides. Bahamoto from Magical Senpai. Bahamoto, her stupid bird named Bahamut. Yeah, the body swap scene in Copcraft, that went there.
Yes, it did. It went there.
She swapped bodies with a cat, and the cat had to use the restroom, and she's a cat trying to pull down her own underwear. It was so wrong.
Yeah, it makes sense if you watched the scene. Her in a cat body trying to pull the panties off of a girl. Because
she
knows
she's going to use the restroom as a cat in her body in the kitty litter box. So, yeah. Lily standing up to Soma in Danmachi Season 2. That was absolutely incredible scene. We didn't really get much of Lily in that season, but that was like an incredibly emotional scene. Like that was the point which I was like,
yes,
this is why I like Danmachi right here. This is like these really nuggets of awesome moments in there. So yeah, Takagi-san, skill teacher Takagi-san Season 2. I've changed something about myself. Can you find out what it is? And her like inspecting him and totally breaking him. Like I mentioned earlier, the hide and seek discovery.
The win. Yeah. The win was great.
Yeah, that was great too. The last bout, I guess. Alpharetta, the world's from commonplace to world's strongest. Him stabbing a dragon. And then the dragon begging him to take it out because she's got to change into a humanoid form. She wants it pulled out before she changes back to a humanoid. Because you know that wouldn't be good. Oh, so wrong. Yeah, Edgy meeting Nanako's dad in Senryugura, I mentioned that earlier, was priceless, seeing her face and being absolutely dad realizing that she really likes him, and he just said that they're friends. Sword Art Online, I wouldn't say its greatest moments, but it was a very shocker moment. Gabriel killing somebody in Sword Art Online Alicization was not... That happened, and it was not good, but it was a very shocking moment. But I don't put it past the writer at all anymore. Oh, Mob putting back together Emmy's novel in Mob Psycho 100 Season 2. That was a really cool moment because it was like this moment where all the kids were making fun of the book, ripping it up. And he walks up and he's like, why are you doing that? And he starts picking up the parts and then it kind of blows away. And he uses the psychic power to put it back together. It was really cool. It's cute. Very cute. Yeah, Yatsuba teasing Uesugi, even though I like Miku. It was like that moment of like, oh, hey, I really like Yatsuba. I actually liked Yatsuba first. And then they started getting really into Miku. And I'm like, okay, never mind. Sorry, Yatsuba. Miku's better. So I had to switch. And we already mentioned Carol on Tuesday. Just the failing at the carnival and having, what was her name? Crystal? Was it Crystal? That came up and supported them afterwards and just completely changed their mood. Desmond, the final song was incredible too.
Most of the first songs that you hear of the main cast was really wonderful.
Yeah. All right. That'll end this deliberations. We have just the best of seasons and the best of the year. So stay tuned and we'll hope you enjoy. Os.
I'm sorry.
「まるで君と僕みたい」